Hey, my name is John. This is my wife, Pam. We have been married 28 years. I've been on staff here at Watermark 21 years. I started the marriage ministry here at Watermark, and now my role is director of Watermark Resources. So we help other churches use a lot of the ministries that we have here, Reengage, Regen, The Porch, Foundation Groups, all those kinds of things, our Church Leaders Conference, Church Leaders Podcast. And so I get to basically package up all that we're learning here, all that we're developing, mistakes we've made, and share those with other churches. So really, really, really fun role that I've kind of transitioned into about 7 years ago. So this is my bride of 28 years.
28 years of bliss. Maybe 27 years of bliss. Yes. In that 28, maybe that's what we said.
Yes.
This is not a marriage class. That's a different conference.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But we're excited. We are going to talk about fun today. And so our title is Fun First, Discipleship Second. And so we'll definitely talk about the goal, as we heard last night, is to disciple our kids. That is the end goal of all this and why God gave us those trees specifically that we are stewarding. But we just really believe that, you know, fun and friendship is a way to get to that. It's kind of the table stakes to disciple your kids. And so we're passionate about that. We love it. We have four kids, Hudson, Emmy, Dawson, Maddie, and then a bonus. We have a daughter-in-law as of a little over a year ago. And man, you hear it, we lived it. It went fast. I mean, it's from that to that, married, college, empty nest 2 months ago, and it went really quick. And we are grateful that we poured in when we had them. We still are, obviously, love just the relationship, but it's different, you know, with adult kids. And so we are grateful for that time. But yeah, it went quick, didn't it?
Yes, it did indeed. Yeah. So yeah. Let me share a metaphor with you real quick that it was helpful to us. I'll give it to you, and then I'll set the table for our talk, and then we'll just jump into some practical stuff. So the shot clock. Pam and I just found this metaphor to be really, really helpful. When we were given our kids, we began pretty quickly to realize how short our time was with them. You will have 18 summers, you'll have about 7,000 days with your kids. And it just ticks. It doesn't stop. And we would imagine kind of this shot clock above their head, knowing that time was short. Time was short. If you're, you know, loss aversion is a really incredible motivator, and we knew that we were going to lose our opportunity to spend time with our kids, to disciple them, and to enjoy them. And so when I would come home from work, and blood sugar is low, and I've got little kids bouncing on the trampoline, they're like, "Dad, come jump with us." I'd go, I don't want to go do that. And I would just imagine these little bouncing heads with the shot clock that was running down. I go, I'm not going to have time to do that, right? When it came time to tuck in to bed, maybe tonight's not my favorite night because I'm tired, something's going on. And I would imagine the shot clock going, I won't have that many more times to tuck my kids into bed. Or plan. We'll talk about planning fun outings and vacations and things like that. And it really did just kind of clarify the brevity of the task and the brevity of our opportunity. And so just for you, friends, I mean, I just want to give you a sense of urgency, which is different than a sense of panic or dread or stress, right? You can have a sense of urgency and still be at peace and feel very centered and really, really whole with Jesus, not panicked. But this is really short. This is really, really short. This season will go by faster than you think. And I want you to have minimal regrets. You will have regrets that you can't zero those out, but you can minimize them, and you can look back over this run and go, "Man, that was so fun." So okay. So the idea of a shot clock, and then let me set the table here for our talk. We are going to talk about creating an environment of fun and friendship or relationship with your kids, so that you can disciple your children, okay? So don't send me an email and say, "Hey, the most important thing as a parent is to disciple our kids, not to have fun, not to be their buddy." I agree with you. I totally agree with you. However, I think that the relationship and fun and memories and things like that really does set us up well to have those faith conversations, to pull off that Deuteronomy 6 mandate, that we're to wake up and lie down. As we do so, we're supposed to talk to our kids about the things of God. We're to impress them on their hearts. right? When we sit, when we're sitting at the table, when we're walking along the road or the field or driving, as we would do now, we are to impress these things on their hearts, and we do that best out of a relationship, okay? So I think God is a great model. You guys know this one, Ten Commandments. Don't kill, don't steal stuff, you know, be nice to your parents, all that kind of stuff. Does anybody know what's missing there in this rendition? We don't talk about this a lot. Just one little phrase here. And before God gave his kids, his people, the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments, these are the things you should do that will it will go well for you. This is what it looks like to obey me, and this is how we love God. We obey him. The first thing he says is, I want you to remember that I'm the God that walked with you, right? Out of Egypt, I was there. I was with you. I was close to you. Now, in light of that, here's some rules, right? And it's been well said that rules without a relationship equals rebellion. And I think that really, we know intuitively that's true. That's true. And but I think God is a great model. He gives us rules, things that will go well with us, for us, and he walks with us. And out of that relationship, we can trust him, we can obey him. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, we know that he is for us, okay? And so, one, we've got the example of God. And two, we've got the phrase of David Peniel. My argument is pretty much built at this point. So, David, you'll see him on Sunday mornings around here. A lot of times he'll do the button. He'll kind of produce all things Sunday morning. He'll do announcements, those kinds of things. So David used to be the youth pastor here at Watermark for a really, really long time. He was high school guy, and then he ran the whole student ministry. So he was around students a lot and was with students before he actually came on staff. And so one day I asked David, our kids were little, and I said, hey, David, think about kids who leave Watermark, they go to college, and they continue to walk with Jesus. What is like the same about all their families? Is there common characteristics, common threads, common themes? And he thought for a second, I caught him off guard. He goes, you can kind of help. He's probably running through a few different kids. And he goes, you know what's interesting? Is that all of those families were really fun. They were really fun. And I think they then enjoyed being together. He goes, yeah, that's probably what I would say. You know, like I hadn't thought about that. And I go, what an odd answer. Like there's no way that had you had time to think about that, that's what you would say. So I actually waited a couple years, and I hit him cold again, knowing that he would have forgotten. He's a youth pastor. Youth pastors don't remember anything, right? And, I'm a recovering youth pastor. So I hit him again, and he does the same thing. It kind of catches him off guard. And he goes, huh. I ask him, what are the common characteristics? Kids who leave home, they go off to college, they still walk with Jesus. Tell me about their families. What's common, what's a thread among all of them? He goes, huh. You know what's interesting? Is that all those families are really fun. And they have tight relationships. He goes, that's interesting, isn't it? And I go, that's interesting. I said, do you not remember that a couple years ago I asked you that? And he goes, no. I go, well, your answer didn't change. And so I think there's something there. From the vantage point that you have, the seat you sit in, you see something that's helpful. And so that intuitively is where Pam and I were going, but it's also just like it really just kind of drove home that point that we want our kids, when they leave, when the shot clock goes to zero, as far as it depends upon us, and it doesn't fully, but as far as it depends on us, we want them to be walking with Jesus. We want them to love God and love others. And if creating a culture of fun and a kind of a friendship and a relationship would give us the best opportunity to do that, we want to prioritize that. So that we can have faith conversation. So that is the thesis of the talk, and then we're going to jump to a lot of practical stuff. So anything else before we get going?
Yeah, I mean, we would just say we're going to jump into, again, just lots of practical ideas, and the goal for this time is to just help you kind of get your mental treadmill going on what would be good for your family, to just inspire you. So if you take all these and replicate them, great, you're welcome to it. If none of this works for your family, just be inspired to kind of do your own thing. And so again, we'll talk at the end. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't do nothing. Don't try to do all of it. But just hopefully this helps you, just to inspire you. Like, what would be specific and unique to our family? Man, we hate camping or baseball, but we like this other stuff. And so just that is the goal of this, just to kind of get your mind working, you two guys together, just kind of thinking about what would be fun.
Yeah. So we're going to rattle through some stuff that we did with our kids and some of the things that we saw some of our friends do. And so here, you can take notes. You're adults. You can do however you want. You've got the slides will be in your app if you want them, so you don't have to write down anything that's on the screen because you'll have those. If it was me and I had a pen, I would be writing things either that I want to replicate one-to-one or all the ideas that come to mind. As you think, you know, I would never do that. But here, I just got an idea. And I would write that down. What if? I wonder what if. I'd love to learn more. I'd love to think more about that. Because your family is different than our family. We've got four kids who are very different. You have at least probably one or one on the way. And they're very different than our kids. You are very different than Pam and I. And so maybe something would just kind of, again, jog your memory. And I think that would be a real win. If I were you, I'd look for just a handful, maybe two good ideas. I wouldn't be looking for 30 good ideas to implement. I'd be looking for a handful or two, okay? Good?
So good.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. And let's, then just to remember, like, the whole reason we're doing this is so that when you have those faith conversations, you're driving your kids to school, picking them up from school, you're on a long road trip, you're at the table, you want to have family worship at home, they're like, yeah, just like God. Hey, you're the parents who are with us. You're the parents that we have a relationship with. That we enjoy being with you. Now, tell us about this, the Jesus stuff, okay? That's the whole point. It's not so that you're just fun. Great?
That's good. All right, first one, don't be afraid to make a mess. Sometimes the driving question is, how big of a mess will this create? Just kind of throw that out the window. One of our kids' favorites, and it resonates a lot, especially with dads when we talk about it, is barbarian night. So, like, utensils are out the window. We ask the kids, hey, what was some of your favorite dinners? And they were like, those barbarian nights. And the messier, the more fun. Don't do sandwiches or pizza. Like, do spaghetti or something that's just a mess. And just, you know, we're all the time, hey, wipe your mouth, have good manners. Well, tonight it's spaghetti and there's no forks. And so just have fun with them. Another one, man, we had this strip of grass that we've been working on, it was so green and lovely, but it was the best place to put a slip and slide. So we gave in a week of slip and slide in the Texas summer, and that strip of grass was, you know, gone.
Nuked.
But man, they had fun, and we have great pictures. We were looking the other day at just the fun pictures of that slip and slide. And so don't be afraid to make a mess.
Barbarian night, it hits every time. It's undefeated. So yeah, okay.
All right, man weekend or girls weekend. So we have two of each. And man, those boys, they were like, when are mom and the girls going somewhere? Because they just thought, can we like buy meat and take off our shirts? And like one time I came in and they had made homemade crossbows. Like they had like got some shish kebab skewers and like, you know, made them sharp, and we're shooting across this, you know, shooting these crossbows across the kitchen at this targets. And, you know, then the girls and I would go do, you know, whatever, I don't know, go do pedicures or, and you know, and maybe the girls, like, they like to hike and they don't always just want to do girly, foofy stuff, you know, but it was just something kind of specific to girls and guys. But the boys were like, when are the girls leaving?
They would ask, can we get the girls out of here? We want to have just time with the guys. And we would always make 1 pound burger. We call them man burgers. And so, like, my little guy was like probably this tall, and he would, And he's like, we gotta make man burgers. Like, buddy, it's a full pound. You know, he couldn't eat a McDonald's mini burger at the time. He's like, no, man. You know, and so we'd make these giant, you know, loaves of hamburger here, and he would take 2 bites. You know, and we had our shirts off, and we, you know, it, we just had fun, and we'd wrestle and I'd just do guy stuff, and it was fun. Those were really, really fun days.
Yes. All right, leverage free. So there's lots of free things to do. So that, you recognize the Home Depot apron right there. So Home Depot, Lowe's, one Saturday a month, I think they still do. You can go in and make the free craft, you know, and you put it together. And usually goes great. Sometimes there's little injuries involved with the hammer. That's our baby. But there are lots of free, fun things to do in Dallas, and we would utilize those. You know, of course, 7-Eleven and Chick-fil-A Day are like a national holiday in our house. I mean, even through high school, I think the kids were like, what are we dressing up?
The free day of those.
The free days, you know, where's our cow spots? Mom, I know you keep the cow spots every year so we can go get our free Chick-fil-A. But just utilizing the opportunities that are around to go, you know, for free stuff. There's the Nasher, I think, wasn't early on, but I think now it's free. And man, when the kids were little, like, let's go to Sam's, and it's lunchtime, so we'll all get samples. And that's going to be our lunch today. And so just utilizing, I mean, there's a lot to do in this big Metroplex that could be free. I mean, we just had a little running list, kind of an Evernote file. Early on, budget was really, really tight, and I think we were like, it was kind of a competition for us, like, hey, can we get out of here spending, like, nothing or just a few dollars, you know, for the day?
Yeah.
So leverage free opportunities.
Yeah, that's good. And there's a lot, and just keep track of them.
Yeah.
And some days you can stack them, and like literally if you have nothing to do all day, you could make a game out of spending nothing and teach
hey,
kids
and
to
I,
be frugal.
I would say this is fun. Like even on times when budget wasn't as much of an issue and we maybe had money to go to a nice meal, it was fun just to do. And then our older kids now, so our oldest is married and they're just, you know, figuring out how to make life work on a newlywed budget. And I mean, they the other day were like, you know how many places give you free stuff on your birthday? And so they kind of learn that same thing. Just, hey, here's some ways we can do this.
Yeah,
so.
The point is not to teach your kids how to get over on the system. The
no.
point,
but they are giving
point,
it away.
Yeah. The point is that it doesn't take a lot of money to have
That's
fun.
That's right.
So, but if they, you know, okay.
If they
yeah.
want to get
okay.
crumble, I don't know what else there is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
So we'll talk a lot about planning, and also there's value, I think, in just going unscripted. And we were talking about this one. One time we got in the car, didn't have anything we had to do, anything we planned, and we took the Twister board. I put all the kids in the car. We didn't know where we were going or what we were doing. I didn't know. And we just spun the Twister needle, and it pointed, whichever way it pointed, we just said, we're just going to drive and just find fun stuff to do. And I don't really remember all of the things. I do remember we passed a Barnes & Noble, and I said, hey, everybody go in there, 30 minutes. Go learn about something that you don't know about. And then we got back in the car and we drove, and then we stopped at some other places. I remember we stopped at pizza at one point at this restaurant we hadn't been at, and we went back since and we sat at the pizza place, and I said, hey, everybody share what you learned. And the boys, they were little, and they like medieval weapons was what they learned about, you know, things that'll be really helpful today. And we did, you know, something else, but they still, I remember years ago, we were talking about just kind of fun memories, and they talked about that. They said, that time we just like got in the car, we didn't have any plan, and we just let it unfold. And some of the best memories that we have made have just been, huh, I wonder what's down that road, right? I wonder what that, what's in that building, what that's about. Of course you're going to have misses, right? And and like total, you know, total bust. But sometimes that's where the most, I mean, one of the most serendipitous moments in our family's history happened because we stumbled into a place that initially the kids made fun of. Like, who goes into there? And I could tell you the story, it'd be much longer, but it was an unscripted, huh, I wonder what's in there. And so for some of us, we just need to just kind of go with it. And,
yeah.
And that can be a lot of fun.
Totally. We drove around Dallas looking for some museum that was a free, back to the free thing, for a long time. It was a total bust. You remember, it was like the ceiling fan.
Oh, yeah, ceiling fan. It was like a ceiling fan museum. Anyone do that one?
I don't even know why. Sure,
riveting.
We've all been there, right?
But it was closed.
Surely.
And so it was closed.
Not again, temporarily,
like who
permanently.
Figured, go figure that didn't make.
Anyway. Okay, all right. Build, create, or accomplish something together. And so 2 or 3 years ago, we invested in the Hogwarts Castle Lego and spent Christmas, 2 or 3 days over Christmas doing that. And that was really fun. We had varying degrees of Lego interest in the house, so some were in and out, some were like locked in the whole time. But that was just really fun to accomplish together. I was missing my days of like themed birthday parties and making little, you know, snacks, and so I got to make some Harry Potter snacks, and that was really fun for my mom heart. But just enjoyed kind of creating and doing that together. Side note, like you can buy the castle and then we resold it on eBay.
Yeah.
And like, I think net, we were out like $50.
If
it was
that,
a deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was really a fun thing to accomplish and do together.
Yeah. We another time we built, if you get PVC pipes, you can string them all together and get an adapter to put a water hose in. And then you can get all kinds of little, you know, additions at Home Depot, different sprinklers or different like misters. So that would go onto like irrigation system, and we set up and made this like little car wash. It was a car wash. It was bike wash, and we made this little wall of just, you know, spray water. And the kids just had so much fun because we built it together. And then I think we took it down and made like some even longer contraption, and you know, and they just had fun. And so if you can build things together, we didn't really well. We kind of built our playset and tree fort, things like that. We added on to it. But that could be a lot of fun. We just don't use our hands a lot,
yep.
As much anymore. Living in Dallas, we just, you know, buy and consume and hire other people to do stuff. But kids are kids throughout the generations. They still love to build and do tactile things with their hands. So, okay, good on that one. So plan a quest. And this is a big one for us. It's something that really kind of marked our family. Our son was 13, I think, and came home with a wild, our oldest son was 13 and came home with a wild idea. We were having dinner, and I said, what if we go see a ball game in every major league ballpark before Dawson graduates, you know? It was 5 years, and that seemed crazy. They were like, we can't do that, you know? And I was like, yeah, we can, and I didn't know if we could do that, but we did that. And we finished right before he went to college. If you can see up there on the far left, we finished in St. Louis, and they put a little thing up there that we had gone to all the ballparks. Now, it was a little bit about baseball. We saw some. I mean, all parks are different. That's kind of fun if you're into that. We saw some good baseball. We saw a triple play in Toronto. Yeah, we saw Clayton Kershaw hit a home run in Colorado. We saw some cool stuff. We did. However, it really was about being together, making memories, and seeing the country. And that was just an excuse to do all of that. And it kind of brought us together. And we got a magnet from each one of those ballparks, and they're on our fridge today. And those are all memories that we have of all the different places that took us. And it just took us all over the country and, you know, gave us the best memories are not. The best memories are not at the ballparks, although we had some fun ones. We had some real long, hot, excruciating days as well, right? But you find yourself in Chicago, you know, if you're from there, and you eat at Portillo's hot dogs, and you have a chocolate cake shake, and then you get a little pontoon boat, and you can't imagine they actually let you drive it, and you drive down the waterway at night when the sun goes down, and you see the sky lit up, and you play music with your kids and dance on the pontoon boat. And it was amazing. And so the quest was just something that just facilitated that. So it can bring out the best in you, your family. It can kind of, you know, create some really big goal to chase down. But some of you, like that, that might literally be the worst idea you've ever heard.
Totally.
In a car with kids, baseball. Like you're out, you're 0 for 3 on that. And that's okay. But is there something for you that would kind of rally you as a family? And so I've got a friend, his dad, and he and his dad went, I think they actually, he was in Dallas at the time, they went all over Dallas looking for the best banana milkshake. And so they had some little grid where they kept score and like rated, I don't know, thickness, taste, and ambiance or whatever. And I don't know how many places serve banana milkshakes in Dallas, but apparently more than one, because they were on a quest to find the best one. And I just remember him sharing that, and we were off to the next thing. But I thought, his dad, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't even like banana milkshakes, right? And he just said, this is a way to connect with my son. Because you can't chug a milkshake, right? That's kind of genius. You have to keep sipping that thing. And so you take your son, and you go to this restaurant, and you order a banana milkshake and maybe something to eat, and you just bought yourself, 15, 20, 30 minutes, right? Just connecting with him. So it was a quest that was really about something else. And so you could have a quest for the best pizza, for the best coffee, for all the national parks, or whatever your thing is. That was really, really helpful for us.
Yeah. And so as you think about a quest for your family, big or small, John knows, I've just been kind of really harping on the fact that want to make sure you guys hear, like, there's going to be hiccups, like a lot. And who was saying earlier, like for dad stuff, you just start and you're going to fail and you have permission to fail and you just hit reset and start again. But just I think those long car trips, again, as glamorized as we think back on them now, I mean, we almost just packed it in and came home from California on that West Coast trip. We were in the car for so long.
Yeah.
And we were so excited to drive down the one, and like the wildfires were that year and you couldn't see anything.
Bumper-to-bumper traffic,
I mean, there
with smoke.
Was just... there may or may not have been like some serious conflict between the kids.
Tell that story.
Yeah, tell that story real quick.
So we were.
This is funny now.
So Florence, Oregon.
Funny, ha-ha.
Yes, it was traumatic, and it's mostly funny now. So we've got this Florence, Oregon. They've got these sand dunes. It's crazy, like white sugar sand, and you can sand surf. You just get this little, looks like a skimboard or something like that. And so we went with the kids, and we had a great day, like all the way into the night, and son went down, and I just had a big time. Well, our youngest daughter, she was
9 or 10.
Yeah. This was like pretty much the best day of her entire life, you know, and she was going to try to bottle this up and keep it. And so what we all had was a little piece of wax, like a little square thing of wax. We waxed the boards. You'd go faster. You would kind of drag if you didn't. And so she just, like, once we're leaving Florence, Oregon, she just announces to the family, "This is my favorite souvenir I've ever had in my entire life." And she starts telling us about where she's going to put it in her room, she named it Waxy. Yeah. She gave it a name, and Waxy is my favorite possession now, you know, on and on and on, right? And so we're driving out of Florence. And about 5 minutes later, I just hear this blood-curdling scream, like someone literally has been, you know, shot or stabbed, and which wasn't uncommon for her, you know. And so I'm just like, okay, what is it, you know? And he's like, "Hudson threw Waxy out the window." And I was like, he didn't throw Waxy out the window, you know. He's kind of a jokester, prankster. And he's like, he did. Baby, he knows how much Waxy means to you. There's no way he threw that out the window. "Hudson, give it back." You know, nothing. "Hudson, come on, give it back." He didn't throw it out the window. "Hudson, come on, like, don't make me come back there. I'm going to stop the car." And he goes, "Dad, I threw it out the window." You know? I mean, you know, and the rest of the kids are like, just broke her little heart, man, over this little piece of wax. I was like, "You're cruel." And, you know, she's like, "I'm never talking to you ever again." I mean, just drama on top of drama on top of drama. And we still had like 7 days left together, you know. So
yes, we did.
We don't have time to tell you, it's like the whole rest of the story. You know, this is the Instagram highlight reel. Yeah, 1,000 totally. Pictures, we'll show you 10. Yeah. But
they,
you know,
are mostly restored. He'll probably be on her region inventory for that one specifically. I think they laugh about it, but there's still
a little bit there. Yeah,
there totally
so.
Is. Yes.
And you just have to not lose your mind, or, you know, say anything that you're going to regret, you know, for the next 30 years. And so that happens. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. There you go. Good. Yeah. We'll keep moving through these. They'll be quicker. But camping, again, so this may be like, that's the worst thing I've ever. Look at that picture. Why would I go do that with my children? There's also glamping. But, man, if you can get out in nature, this is up at Ray Roberts, Mud Island, affectionately known. We were there a lot. Like, Dad was there with the boys, you know, like, there's so many opportunities just to get out with your kids as a family. They love to throw stuff in the fire, like these styrofoam plates, and they were throwing them in the fire.
We'll
and I was
that.
Like,
that's
"Oh
right.
no, we stopped." We were like, "That's probably not. We should not be throwing styrofoam in the fire." But they thought it was really cool how it just shrunk up. But just the opportunity to get outside. There's great organizations, you know, mother son, mother daughter, father, all the different combinations. Trail Life is a great organization. John and the other dads would take, do like a building Christian men kind of a deal. So just getting outside in whatever form, primitive up to glamping, but just kind of getting away.
Something bad will happen. Some curveball will happen when you camp, and that's
totally.
Some of the value. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Explore your city. So again, back to the free stuff, but like, we live in a great area to like go and see the fan museum, or maybe something, ceiling fan museum, or maybe something a little bit better than that. When we were young, when the kids were young, there was a purple book, I remember, that like, just some of the women that would teach like the preschool and just toddler stuff back here in the day would give out. And we called it the Book of Fun, and it kind of had it broken down by here's what to do by ages, here's what's free, here's just some stuff. Now you can look on GuideLive. I was looking this morning, it's still going, just some other things like that. John would kind of own the weekend and like, here's what we're doing. If we didn't have sports or any of that, like, here's what we do. And so we'd go find just the obscure places. The kids love to take the TRE, the train from downtown Dallas over to Fort Worth, and you just get off and just kind of walk around, ride public transportation. The Fort Worth museums are great. Children's Museum, Dallas is catching up. Our museums are good too, but just great opportunities. And then there's the odd things. I mean, not only did we look for the ceiling fan museum, there's a cockroach museum in Plano. One of our daughters, who's a little sciencey, like, thought that was the coolest thing. So just take the opportunity to explore your city. There's a lot more to do than just like going to the park and seeing a movie.
Yeah.
But those are fun, but there's other things to do.
But it was, again, it's just kind of like, hey, it's a weekend. Yep. We're together. We're going to have fun.
Yep.
And I don't, you know, kids like, don't even know what we're going to do, but I just know we're going to enjoy being together. Mostly enjoy being together.
Mostly, yes.
Yeah.
True.
Celebrate big birthdays. You know, some families do this. We did this a little bit. At 13, we would just take them away, Pam and I, and just say, hey, we're not going to lecture you at all. You're coming to a teenage. Generally, it's so cliche, you know, moms and dads and kids, they do this. We're not going to do that. We're going to have a relationship. And so let's go do some stuff that's fun with you and just spend some time. And very, very little, you know, hey, we need to have these serious conversations. There was some of that. At 16, we would do, like, get their friends. Some of them, we'd get their friends together, and we would go do something really fun. And then at 18, before college. So it just gave them something to look forward to. You could use that. This one on the right is one of our sons, and he was really into sneakers. And so we went to, and I was like, you know, within reason, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to go to New York. And so we went, I kid you not, for 3 days we walked around New York and looked at sneaker stores. And they all had the same sneakers, man, you know. And I was just like, buddy, the last five were just like the five before that, you know. And but that's what internally I was like, man, let's go, where do you want to go next, you know. And I had like a big Google map, and we just worked our way and looked at the same darn shoes. But he had a great time. So we were together. Yep.
There you go. Memorizing scripture. So, I mean, this is in the fun talk too, because we would reward for memorizing scripture. Like, there's different schools of thought on, you know, paying for grades or chores or whatever. And we had kind of different thoughts on that through the years, but we always rewarded for memorizing scripture. We just made it a really big deal. Like, hey, this is worth it. And so early on, I mean, even when they were little, like Psalm 23, Psalm 1, I mean, just kind of start and then go to bigger passages. I remember our youngest, or one of the girls, like, we're doing Psalm 23, we're to the part where, you know, he restores my soul. So she's talking, and I'm like, he restores my, and I'm pointing to the bottom of my shoe for my soul to kind of prompt her, and she's like, he restores my foot. And she's so proud of herself. And even now, when she's saying that verse, like, we kind of laugh, and, you know, like, he restores my foot. But just, it was really fun. So we'd do that. They would say the verse, and then we would do a Great Wolf Lodge for the weekend. Or we'd go, just literally go to Fort Worth and stay at a hotel that had a pool. And Emmy would call it, I want to go to my other house. Like, she just thought that was really fun to do. So some kind of reward when they memorize and hide the word of God in their heart. I would say, so regrets, John talked about this earlier, probably top five biggest regrets is not reviewing that better. And so I think if we could do it over, we'd maybe do less scripture if that's what we needed to do, and spend more time reviewing. So they had a lot in their little heads and hearts, and we didn't kind of go back over it as much. So if you do that, just spend some time making sure you review it, just at the table or just kind of as you're driving, put little notes on a ring and something like that. But just the prioritizing memorizing scripture and reward them when you do that.
Yeah, and even today, you know, if we're going somewhere and there's one thing or there's an upgrade or there's something, it's like, well, who's memorized a verse in the last, you know, day, 2 days, week? Okay, you get the thing, you know, and so we're still trying to reward that. So outdoor adventures is a big part of our kids. If you hate the smell of the outdoors, don't do this, you know. But two big standout ones for us was we hiked Half Dome. If you're familiar with that on your Apple startup screen, a lot of times you use these cables to go up there. It's a really, really long day. And Emmy wanted to quit. Like, and I would have put her in the car, and Pam was like, not happening. And so,
like, but, a mile in, she was like, I can just sit in the car all day.
I was like, great, I'm done with you. And so.
But she rallied and
she
was
rallied
awesome.
And it's just like, I could tell you, I could make this whole next 30 minutes about just that one experience. And it was hard, and it was tough, and we accomplished something together. And we also hiked across the Grand Canyon in one day, and that, like, that's pretty serious stuff. Just be careful if you do that. Truly, I'm not being funny. But like, we trained with the kids, and the tower over here, the 9-story tower, we'd come up on a Saturday, and we worked all the way up to either 18 or 20, 20 times where they went up, you know, came down. Each time was up, and I was no one's friend those Saturday mornings. Like, why are we doing this? You know, I was like, because I don't want you to die. And
hey, to be fair, they had bought it. Like, right then, they weren't excited, but they had stacked hands, even at a young age, saying, we want to do the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, and they didn't have much choice, but yeah,
it.
That's right. And at the end, we got, you know, we left like early, like 4 o'clock in the morning on the north side, and came down, and came up on the south end. And all of them, you know, they're completely spent and exhausted. And they're like, Dad, thank you so much, you know, for making us train. It was really, really fun. Yeah. It was really fun. And or even if it's not epic, just the kids mostly appreciate, you know, a mountain view or a lake or a stream or an ocean and just the beauty of that. We've got lots of great memories. We've connected a lot around outdoors.
Just being outside, yeah. Train for a race. So that hot chocolate 5K or 15K, if you're a little more ambitious, I did that with each of our kids, and it was really fun, just kind of varying degrees of training. And then Hudson here on the left, like, you know, left me in the finish line. I had to sprint to keep up and couldn't do it. But just, it was really fun just to kind of have that shared experience, and then really good chocolate bowl at the end.
Yeah, and which works for art class or cooking class.
That's right.
Or all these things, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. We didn't do this, but some friends of ours, they would, every birthday, they would write a very thoughtful note to their children. And they would just call it like fun memories, of the fun things from the year. And then things that they had prayed for them that year, they would talk about where they were seeing new fruits of the Spirit in their life, patterns. Like, I wonder if God is, you know, going to allow you to do this because of this thing. Hopes, dreams, those kinds of things, ways that are proud of you. And I think, man, what a gift that would have been to give the child when they left for college or when they got married. Or you could still do it every year, you know. Did my parents love me? Were they invested? I've got an artifact that shows that. Okay, again, which then these are parents who know you, are thinking about you, tracking with you, praying for you. When you have faith conversations, it becomes a whole lot easier. Monthly rhythms, weekly rhythms, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It can be, again, it's one of those, if it doesn't happen, if you don't put it on your calendar, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And it's just really easy just to say, how about take every kid once a month, spend some time with it, once a week or whatever it is. And just simple. We live real close to a Target. And I would, one of my daughters, we'd walk over probably every other week, and she would get a Sprite, and we'd take a pack of cards, and we would just play cards.
Face 10. Yep.
And we never made it to 10, you know, and we would just sit there, and we'd just talk.
Yeah.
She'd drink her Sprite, and we'd play cards and talk. And so each kid, especially if you've got a bunch of them, everybody wants to feel special and seen in the chaos of life. And if you just put it on your calendar and make it a goal, you can make that happen.
Yeah, and I think that's simple. I mean, that if we have four kids, and so that would be like the 30, 45 minutes to Target and back was more doable than this huge. We did do some date nights, but just for something like that, we just had different rhythms.
Yep.
Pull them from school. So about once a year, I wasn't doing this like every month, but once a year I'd just go up at lunch when they were younger, especially, and it wasn't as big a deal, to miss a little bit and just say, hey, we're going to lunch, and then we're going to go see a movie, or we're going to go, you know, go do something fun. And so tried to surprise them with that. One time John maybe had tickets to an afternoon Rangers game or something like that and pulled one of the kids. So just, I mean, again, don't let school get in the way of your child's education. Be a really fun opportunity. Just, again, not too often, but they do remember just, oh, mom's here for lunch. Maybe I'm gone for the rest of the day. So
yeah.
That was fun memories.
Yeah, they loved it.
Yep. Cooking a meal together. We've got some kids that love to cook, some that don't. But, man, we just, like, occasionally would just get in the kitchen and, you know, just cook some kind of meal together. We'd maybe think about the ethnicity, like we went. And none of us had Ethiopian food. And we went to an Ethiopian grocery store and kind of learned some stuff and got all the ingredients for that. And then we just took a few minutes over dinner and just prayed for that country. And so it's just been really fun to just try different ethnicities. Last Christmas, everyone kind of was just cooked their own thing. It was a really hodgepodge meal, but it was really fun. Everyone come with an idea, come with something you want to cook, and all seven of us were in there with music and just kind of made just fun dishes that were our favorite. And so, again, just someone, if they don't want to cook, they can be the DJ, you know, but just hang out together and cook, and that's been really fun for us.
That's a special night, yeah. So leverage, you know, sporting events, tournaments, cultural moments. So when March Madness rolls around, you know, everybody get a bracket, you know, pick your bracket, winner gets X, loser has to do this, you know. The Olympics, we would make them pick a country outside of the top 10 from the last time it was, and we'd have prizes for that. And then, you know, when things unique come to town, next year the All-Star Game will be here in Dallas for baseball. You know, that might be a sport. I have no idea how much that ticket costs. Our kids were into F1 for a season. And I don't care about that, but they did. And so they had magnets, and they would track the place where the standings, move them up or down, and then we would make food. Like they're all around the world, so if they were from Dubai, we would have Middle Eastern food and watch the replay. So just use something else that you can piggyback off of.
Yeah. Maximize holidays. So, you know, just typically right there at the end of the year, especially as your kids get older, there's downtime. There's typically time you can take off work. The kids are done and have a little downtime. So maximize that. And definitely we're all for, like, go visit family, go kind of create memories, you know, be respectful of the grandparents. But, like, if you can just, we really try to make sure we get just the six, now the seven of us, just to really get some focus time. And just kind of have some rituals. We kind of create our own, make your own pizza on Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve, we've been playing for the last few years, or quite a few years, Risk. our family's really competitive. In the last 2 years combined, I think we've had like conflict resolution sure. into the new year. So risk maybe, we might be playing something else.
We write down who wins inside the box every year, and they're like, Dad, you need to put an asterisk by yours because that
totally.
Wasn't fair.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
it's like
but
like
just
a
some
scandal.
Kind, yeah, some kind of yeah, just experiences that we can stack, you know, on top of each other.
It's unique, yeah. and when if you can just shut it down yeah. and make sure you. Those are really unique moments when your kids are in the home holidays, and so just leverage them and
yeah.
don't treat them like every other day. So
yeah, totally.
Plan ahead. Yep.
Yeah, and to that also maximizing summers again as they're younger and they've got a little more time. Man, we've got I think this summer we've got 3 days maybe the whole
yeah,
summer that people are either not working at camp, not working at their real jobs now, and man, we are missing the days of we've got more time in the summer. So maximize those while you have them. You know, save up for something big. You know, maybe we got a couple of summers where it's just kind of smaller trips, but then we're looking forward to this kind of big thing. But just maximizing those and having something big to
yeah.
look forward to.
I remember we would try to do that. Like, this is kind of a normal summer. This is a big summer. And I remember we had saved up. We needed some new carpet. We had carpet. We needed to replace that or do wood flooring. And so we just kind of saved up. We had the money. And I went to Pam and I was like, okay, so we've got this money. And we got this opportunity this summer, and we can't do both. We have to choose. And she's like, "Yeah, let's go ahead and let's do the thing," you know. And so we were coming back, and I remember I said, "Okay, you know, money spent. If you could go back and have nice floors or these memories with your kids, what would you choose?" She goes, "Easy. I'd take 10 times over the memories with our kids. We'll have, you know." Nice floors, you know, nice golf clubs, whatever it is. Once the kids are out, you know, we've only got this one little window. And
yep.
so we're grateful. That's the way we chose anyway to do
yep.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of take one kid on a trip. We've talked a little bit about one-on-one time. If you can kind of get away longer or shorter with kind of each kid individually, just whatever that looks like. One summer, the other kids were doing camp and maybe Maddie didn't that summer. And so she and John went hiking and kind of knocked out some national parks. But just having a little more extended time with kids has really been valuable for us. Also, and then to that next point, taking a child on an errand. I know sometimes the last thing you want to do, mom especially, is like take a kid along. You just like Target by yourself is the best. It sounds like the best. And those are great. You should definitely go and walk around Target by yourself with some Starbucks. But if you can just grab a kid, hey, I've got to run these errands. Hey, come with me. We'll pop in Sonic on the way. It's just a great opportunity to be side by side with your kid and just get some good conversation with them.
Yep. Ask, hey, what would be fun right now? How can I connect with my kids right now? Or how can we make a memory right now? Right? Everybody's
moment.
Standing around. Just ask those and just see if something comes. Because right? a lot of times we just move through, and with just a little bit more energy or creativity, we can make some great memories that the kids will be talking about. So just asking that, you know. And I remember a friend was in Panama City, and he asked some version of that. And they all went and got T-shirts that were like, you know, the trashy Panama City,
well,
you know,
t-shirt. PG-rated. Like, don't get, there's
yeah,
ours.
No, that's right,
there's
that's right.
different
but, you know,
levels of trashy
but, you know, like,
yes.
came on vacation, left on probation, you know, that, those kind of things, and dressed
yeah.
all their kids up, and that was their Christmas,
yeah.
you know, card,
yeah,
you know. What?
Yes.
And he was just like, you know, we were doing the beach thing. He's like, this would be hilarious. And
yeah.
so
yep.
sometimes it's just a little bit more effort. So if you can coach your kids' teams, I'd encourage you to, especially if you, this is part of your story, if you're going to drop your kids off, and pick them up anyway, just go ahead and stay for practice. If you're going to go to their games, sit in the stands, go ahead and coach. And so we would coach if I knew what I was doing. That was baseball and football, I would. Basketball, no idea. So I was the clipboard guy and keep the kids from, you know, getting on a fight on the sideline guy. And but I was out there with them, you know, and just to be with our kids and have some conversations we, you know, with the boys, just talk about man stuff and, you know, boys pout, men endure, and boys criticize, men create. You know, we had some amazing one championship years, you know, and we're still talking about it.
Totally.
And then some, like, got our brains beat in. And
but you did get a sportsmanship trophy the year. No games won. We were 0 and whatever. But
yes,
a sportsmanship trophy.
We won some championships and some sportsmen.
Yeah, that's right.
But those were, we still talk about some of those memories.
Yep.
Taking walks. Yeah. I've just found just with my boys especially, sitting across the table from them, ask them lots of probing questions. Sometimes you don't mean to, but it can induce shame. It's just something about standing next to them. You're not looking them in the eye, and they're moving, and they're a little more open. You ask them questions, and they'll open up a little bit more. They can receive encouragement in a way that's different from just, you know, right across the table in Denny's.
So. Yeah, that whole friendship piece, that side-by-side, just moving through life. And so boys and girls, you know, just kind of walking with them. Be interested in their interests. We kind of talked about this a little bit with Formula One, but like early on, we knew every Thomas the Tank Engine train and all his little buddies just because that's what was happening in our house. But just kind of whatever they're interested in, jump in. John's pretty like ambivalent about golf, you know, dispassionate about golf, but our boys right now are really into it. So John has suddenly become more interested in golf because he is having an opportunity just to be with the boys. So just kind of be interested in what they are. One of our girls loves music, and it's been really fun for her to share some music with us. And one of her favorite singers is in town tonight, and she's not going. She's living vicariously through us because we're going to go see Stephen Day tonight. I don't know if anybody knows Stephen Day. He's a little lesser known guy, but he's our favorite. So anyway, very lesser known, but we're excited. And that's been something she's interested in.
We're going to get a t-shirt. We're going to get a Christmas present. That's really what's going on.
We're going to see that and get a Christmas present
for her. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
So this is a big one. This fun stuff. This one's pretty serious. But I think to preserve the relationship, you got to make sure that you handle both sin and confessions with grace. And so it's been said when someone confesses their sin, the next 5 seconds could be the most important 5 seconds in their life. And you need to ask as a parent, hey, if the way I handled their confession or their, let's talk about confession. The way I handled their confession, if I were them, would I confess again to me? The answer needs to be yes. You'll do it imperfectly, but you move towards them with grace. And Ephesians 2, if you've not read it recently, just pick it up and just go through there and Paul says, by our very nature, we were objects of wrath. We deserved God's wrath. Not the wrath of a mean dad or uncle, but the wrath of a holy God. That's a really scary place to be. Paul goes on to say, but instead, we got mercy. So that which was due us wasn't given to us. And then we got grace. Well, rather, not only just removing the consequences, God has a posture of being for us. And so probably there's consequences depending on what's going on, but just make sure you're asking a lot of questions. Make sure you're reminding them, hey, we're going to get through this. I love you. There might be consequences. It's okay. But what's not in question is my love for you, right? And that no matter what happens, I want to be your first call. Right? You call me first. I love you. We're gonna get through this, okay? Rather than what the heck are you doing? Because it's shame for us. What people are gonna think? We make it about us, and just try to relate to them. That might be the most important thing I can say to you, as to handle both sin and confession with grace.
Maximize tuck-in times. Last thing you want to do is lay there and just kind of rub their back and talk to them. But again, lights are off. It's a great, I mean, they really get more vulnerable. Maybe you've seen that before. When a 16-year-old's like, hey, Mom, will you sit here and just rub my head and talk to me for a little bit? The answer is always yes. And so just maximizing that time. Leveraging meals. And so I know there's a great breakout that Blake and Rebecca did on just talking about mealtime, and so I definitely recommend that to you. But just leveraging that opportunity, and like, don't make it the Inquisition, you know, like, you know, tell me everything about your day, but just like, hey, real quick, what was your high and low today? And so just kind of utilizing that time around the table to leverage when you're all together.
Yeah, high lows are great. What's the funniest thing you saw today? Yeah. Where did you see God at work? Where did you fail? Like, what'd you try and you failed at?
Yeah.
All those are
keep
great, right?
Yep.
And just encourage, picking people to encourage. Hey, let's go tonight. Let's encourage Hudson. What have you seen in Hudson last night, in the last week that's encouraging? So wrestle with your boys and dance with your girls, man, because they won't want to always. And any chance you get, if your little son who's missing three teeth says, Dad, let's wrestle, man, you take your shirt off and you get down there, right? And the girls want to have a tea party or they want to dance, you do it, man. You do it because that shot clock is going to zero.
Yep.
Don't miss the opportunities and connect. Wrestling's physical stuff with boys. I had a friend who asked James Dobson, who was kind of like the guru, evangelical guru of parenting. Hey, what's number one piece of advice for me to parent my son? He said, you should wrestle with your kid and you should let him get on the ground and like beat you. And so he tells a story like his son is like smashing his head, you know. And it's like, I wasn't thinking concussion protocol, you know, but man, James Dawson said so. But just connect with them that way. I would encourage you to capture all your best ideas. Yep. And when you're with people, you don't have to invent anything. Just when you're with other parents, hey, what's something fun you guys are doing? How are you discipling your kids? How are you making memories? What are you guys doing this summer? Do you have any rituals, rhythms, any of those kinds of things? And just write it down, right? You hear something fun, and if you'll just capture those over time, you'll get a really, really, really great list. This is one, create physical spaces to connect. And so we redid our living room years ago just so the kids would want to be in there. But this was genius. One of my friends, they had a kid who was going through a really, really tough time, really tough time. And he took him to a high-end furniture store. And he told his wife and two kids, he said, you guys each pick a chair that you'd want to sit in, something that kind of feels like you, that's representative, that feels on brand for you, whatever it is. And just we'll ring it up and get it to the house. And so he had these four very, very different chairs, right? They're like, no, didn't match whatsoever. Yeah. And a little table, and that became the place, especially when their kid was going through a really hard time, that they just came and connected. It was their safe place. And they came, and I get misty-eyed thinking about the way this dad loved. Didn't know what to do. He was like, we're gonna connect. And then their oldest got married, and when they got back from the honeymoon, they all went to the furniture store, and he said, hey, same deal for you. Pick out any chair. And so now they have five mismatched chairs in there, and that's when they connect. Isn't that genius?
Yeah.
So, okay, a couple more here.
Yeah, be on mission together. And so early on, we took our kids. There's opportunities to go. This is when we go to Haiti now with Mission of Hope. I think now we go to Dominican and some other places. But there's opportunities like to take a trip or just even like come up and pack food for Mission of Hope or World Vision. There's opportunities just to be on mission and to do kind of serving opportunities. And it's a lot of fun piece too because you're doing that together. So be on mission together. Be fully present. This is the big one. Be fully present in the daily mundane. So life is not, y'all know this, but just to remind y'all and us, it's not about trips to New York and baseball trips and hiking a big, mountain. Like that's the little, that's just happens every once in a while. The little daily stuff, taking walks, the tuck-ins, just the mundane of every day, that is just being fully present there. And that's kind of the real, just the real indication or test of, how are you doing as friendship? And just how are you connecting in the little stuff? And so being fully present, not just in the big stuff, but in the mundane.
Yeah, and friendship, better. I think relationship's probably the word we would choose. Yeah. Friendship, they're not your buddy.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But they should have a relationship with you. And,
yeah.
you should love each other,
yeah.
Which is what friends do. So, okay. That was fire hose.
Yep.
Okay. Here's some ways you could mess up this from here. Number one, just going to be completely overwhelmed and say, I'm not doing anything. I forget all of that. The safest route is to do nothing. That's a strategy. I don't think it's a good one.
Yeah. Or you can try to do all of it and completely stress yourself and your spouse and your kids out. I used to come home early days of like mom's, nest and mom's preschool things. And like, we have to do these 10 things right now. And like, we can't do anything else. And just completely stress out John, myself. The kids are like, don't let mom go back to those things.
One time I said, I will pay you not to go to that thing tonight.
So
because you're going to come home and make
me. We talked about it at the first. Pick one or two things that you could either replicate or that just spur you with some ideas that's unique to you. So just pick a few and don't be overwhelmed.
Yeah. You also could just really get a hyper-focus on like making memories and forget the why behind that. Your why is so that you make disciples.
Yep.
God walked with his people. He gave them rules. You walk with your kids. You have a relationship with them so that you can disciple them. A disciple is someone, Dallas Willard says, it's someone who does what Jesus would do if he were them. Right? You're trying to form Christ into your kids. That's why. And also to enjoy them. Life is really, this time is short. And you can enjoy your kids. It's not idolatry to enjoy your kids.
Yeah.
You should. They're a gift. You steward gifts, and you also enjoy gifts.
Yeah. Another way to mess this up is just to be available for the big stuff and not be engaged in the small. So back to that point of just being engaged, even in the mundane, small stuff.
Yep. And then you would lose by comparing yourselves to other parents rather than learning from them. And so you're in competition with no one.
Right.
You're in competition with no one. Your kid is different than every other kid. You as a couple or as a mom or as a dad is different than anyone else on this planet. And your goal right? It's not to beat the other parents, not to be more fun, more intentional, whatever. Your goal is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, when you get home. And it's going to be different for all of us. And so please don't compare yourself, okay? But it will go quick, friends. It will go quick. On the left is when we brought home our first, Dawson. Apparently, bell bottoms and goatees were in, I'm sure. I don't know what that was about. And then 2 months ago, we just took our littlest one to college. And we were coming home and, wow, that went so fast. And we've got a story. We've got a story about that 18 years. You're going to have a story about yours. They will talk about it. You will talk about it. So this isn't any kind of, you can just trust us. This isn't bragging at all. But your story will be told. Yeah. And this is one of our.
Welcome back, everyone. 6:23, and Greg is joining us with another TGI Texas. And this one focuses on family and faith and spending that quality time with your loved ones, Greg.
Yeah, another fun shoot we had, getting to go out to the ballpark. And I met a family that they told me they realized years ago that they only have a certain number of summers left with their kids. So they decided to make every one of them count and help spread their faith along the way. Our summer vacation was a kind of a whirlwind vacation, if you want to call it that. It was Toronto, Niagara Falls, and New York City. It's a time to be together. It's a time to go explore. It's a time to learn about each other, things you didn't know maybe, because you get to bond, because we're with each other 24/7.
Trying to make a big X.
What if we all jump off with an X?
Good job. One more.
Meet the McGees. A big family with a passion for faith and baseball.
So talk about this idea of you guys traveling around the country, going to all the ballparks, all the major league ballparks.
We kind of imagined that we had a shot clock above our kids' heads and they were clicking down really, really quick. You know, in 18 years, it was gonna go to zero. So we wanted to make the most of our opportunities, make some great memories. And so I think just one night I just came home, we were having dinner, and I said, hey guys, what if we went to every major league ballpark in the country?
So they took on the challenge, going through the gates of Seattle's Safeco Field, Toronto's Rogers Center, Wrigley Field in Chicago, and Boston's historic Fenway. 5 years traveling together.
It was a little bit about baseball. It was just a lot about being together.
Pictures at every park and taking every opportunity to spread God's word.
Yeah, we were in Oregon coming out of Crater Lake, and a guy had, you know, he had run out of gas. And so we got to hear his story and share our faith with him.
It's that faith that they're holding on to as they get ready to send their oldest on his own journey.
Going off to college, what are you going to take from this experience over the past 5 years?
Well, first, I'm really going to miss these guys. I think just spending this time over the past 5 years has really made me appreciate how great of a relationship I have with my family. But one thing, you know, kind of in that is that I've learned just kind of not to, you know, waste chances like this.
He's ready to do the next thing and be used the way the Lord wants to use him.
Whether it's baseball, nature, or big city adventures, savor those summers because they go by in the blink of an eye.
You know, one of the things I always say, if your faith is not working at home, it's not working.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they get this. They took that time on the road. The kids were talking about when they first started doing it, they were kind of bickering and fighting with each other. But over time, they really became close and got closer and learned a lot about each other.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
There was a little of that.
That is so cool, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, at a time when you really.
That's good. Okay. Yeah. So, but. Do you, man? If you hate baseball, please don't, you know. And. You know, will Oprah come do a piece on you? You know, probably not. But your kids will know. Your kids will know. And you're going to write a story. And I would just encourage you, as much as it depends on you, you can't control your kids, write a story that you are excited about. And take big swings. Give some intentionality to it. What's so hard is that oftentimes as our kids are little, that's often when our careers and all kinds of just different responsibilities are coming our way, and they're all the lines are going up and to the right all at the same time. And I don't know, it's hard. But you won't regret when they go off to college, you know, any of the sacrifices you made for big trips or just, hey, I've got emails to process, but you're too big for me to tuck in. I'm going to lay on the floor next to your bed and just ask you how your day was. And I know that when the lights are off, you tend to open up mm-hmm. a little bit more. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to listen, and then I'll work in there. Hey, you know a verse I think about sometimes when I'm anxious, or a verse I think about when I'm angry, and you share that. That's why you do that. And so if Oprah never comes to your house, I hope that you would hear when you get home from Jesus, who's entrusted you with these kids, one to however many you got. And here's what's crazy, is that Scripture says if they're believers, God calls them his sons and his daughters. And so you get to steward this brief moment. And Chris talked about, you know, last night about a dog, you know, which I guess that might motivate you. But you've got God's sons and daughters in your home right now that you get to steward. So have a relationship with them and then point them to Jesus. Take your next step and be kind to yourself and to them along the way, okay? If we can help you in any way after this, we're empty nesters now. We got nothing but time. if your group is going through something or whatever, you know, or just got some questions afterwards. But I think there is food that we want to make sure you guys get to.
Yes.
Get the good options on the sandwiches or whatever it is. So would you pray for us?
Yeah, let me
and then
pray.
If you have any questions, we'll be around, okay?
Yeah. God, thank you. God, you modeled first what it is like to be with us back in the Old Testament and even now. Like all of Scripture just talks about how you are with us. And so thank you for modeling that. Just pray that you would help every parent in here just to have renewed energy and ideas and just ways that they can be with their family that's unique to them. Help them not to leave overwhelmed, but encouraged and just with the inspiration together to take the next step to make just memories that are unique to their family. And thank you for, just the opportunity to steward. It's a big deal. I mean, that you've entrusted us with these kids. And so, Lord, just give us grace for ourselves and for our kids. Just help us to lean on you and just remember that you are with us through this journey and that you love us and love our kids even more than we do. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed by that. So thank you so much for this opportunity to be here and for the rest of the afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. You're dismissed to lunch. Thanks so much, guys.